My name is Makan Abazari. This is Geopolitics Podcast, and the topic of this episode is Saudi Arabia and Red Sea. When you sit there and think about geopolitical importance of nations around the world, you will find Saudi Arabia is the most significant nation in geopolitics and geostrategy as far as its geostrategic location goes. Saudi Arabia has massive sea border on the Red Sea and is also on Persian Gulf, having so much oil. And it is close to central location of the earth where the land transit happens. And for many other important things, I can say Egypt and Saudi Arabia are geopolitically most important countries on the planet, and they have a great advantage to other nations, and it is their locations, because Red Sea is the location where $100 to $200 trillion worth of trade goes through annually. Suez Canal and Red Sea, there where there is the transit and cargo ships pass through, so it is very important. Saudi Arabia can block the Red Sea as Egypt can close the Suez Canal. And by blocking the Red Sea, they can stop the transit on the Red Sea and on the open seas. Then they will have the cargo ships have to go south of South Africa, where there is rip currents and very high waves, making it very difficult for ships to go through from South Africa. So you need large cargo ships. But for going through the Red Sea, then there is always danger of Saudi Arabia and Egypt stopping the transit of cargoes. But there is a plotting and planning by people before us who were in geopolitics and world order. They knew the danger nations on the Red Sea caused all of us. This is why they dried Saudi Arabia by weather warfare and created deserts and dry lands in Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Sudan, Somalia, and other Ethiopia, but later there was Eritrea and Ethiopia, so it was separated. And thus creating Yemen, and thus creating deserts and lowering the populations. You know, there was an empire called Empire of Sus, Sasan, or Shush, which was on the Red Sea. The Sasanid Empire is also it's called, and they were on the Red Sea, on the both sides of Red Sea, Egypt, Sudan, Ethiopia, Saudi Arabia, and parts of Middle East. And they were the most powerful empire in history of mankind, because they were controlling the Red Sea and the water and transit of goods from Europe, America, to Asia, and other locations around the world. Now, so, Red Sea is very important, and there's lots of transit of ships and goods going through it. And Saudi Arabia is one of the most important countries geostrategically and geopolitically because it is on Red Sea. Saudi Arabia has large reserves of petroleum and oil. Now, their petroleum reserves has gone low because they have been selling too much oil, but they still have large amount of petroleum reserves, which can be exported for decades. Now, Saudi Arabia must stop producing oil because they have been producing too much oil and they need to conserve their oil for future. Now, Saudi Arabia used to be largest oil producer on the planet Earth until America and Russia started overproducing and outproducing Saudi Arabia, and then America become top producer of oil, and then Saudi Arabia was no longer top producer. So being a top producer of oil gives you a geopolitical power and global power, because you can control the global market, world economy, and supply of energy and electric power to the rest of the world. So Saudi Arabia is also very important for its oil production and its presence on Persian Gulf. Saudi Arabia has city of Mecca, the holiest site to Muslims around the world. It brings millions and millions and millions of pilgrims annually, every year during the time of pilgrimage and Hajj, and it has brought about much importance for Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia can benefit from it forever and can use it to make economic gain and, you know, improve its image around the Muslim world, and is considered the heart of the Muslim world, and is a permanent advantage Saudi Arabia has to other nations. Presence of Mecca, the holiest site of Muslims in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia used to be an absolute monarchy with power sharing, meaning important members of royal family, House of Saud, and other people with very much importance in the royal family had positions in the government. Like, for example, one person was very rich and was controlling important economic activities. Another member of royal family was controlling, you know, security forces. Another one was controlling the military. And this way they had a form of power sharing. And every time they were choosing the king and the crown prince, heads of the royal family would come together and decide in a power sharing form, so who will be the crown prince and who will be the king. But until King Salman and Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince, took the power, they ended the power sharing system, meaning they arrested all of the heads of royal family and House of Saud. They took away their wealth and their positions in, you know, security forces, Saudi security police and army. And they gathered all the power under control of Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince. Now, Saudi Arabia is absolute monarchy and authoritarian regime. Saudi Arabia has started a military alliance and military pact among some of the Muslim nations. Some people call it Arab NATO, where they are, you know, members of Arab nations, part of a military alliance. The members are, I believe, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Sudan, UAE, Kuwait, and Pakistan. This is Saudi Arabia has also Arab NATO, or military alliance among Arab nations. This is so far only for combating terrorists, but it will soon become an alliance for mutual defense and war. And it is very important and gives them much edge and power on geopolitical scale. Nobody will be able to declare war on Pakistan, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Sudan, or any other member if they become their military alliance be improved to cover everything from mutual defense and offense. Saudi Arabia has very strong military with many advanced military equipments such as jets, dual purposes, and other means. So Saudi Arabia military is very strong and is capable of defeating major air forces around the world. I think only will be defeated against Russia and United States of America. I think Saudi Air Force will defeat every other nation. Only two nations that can defeat Saudi Arabia in air are Russia and United States of America. Also, Iran has superior air-to-air jets. If there is a dogfight in the air, Iran has types of jets that will defeat Saudi Air Force into air-to-air battle. But if there is a full-scale like air battle, only Russia and America can defeat Saudi Arabia. Now, what Saudi Arabia must do to become militaristically more powerful? Saudi Arabia is on the Red Sea. And if Saudi Arabia purchases 10,000 naval units and naval ships, destroyers and other submarines. Submarines are not useful for Red Sea because Red Sea is shallow and submarines will be found in Red Sea. But so not submarines, but ships, military ships. If Saudi Arabia purchases anywhere from 1,000 to 10,000 ships instead of tanks and jets, Saudi Arabia can defeat all the naval forces of our planet in battle for Red Sea and close down the Red Sea whenever Saudi Arabia desires to do so. This way, Saudi Arabia will become the absolute, the most powerful geopolitically nation on the planet, because they can close the Red Sea with lots of naval forces. Saudi Arabia is already spending hundreds and hundreds of trillions of dollars on its military equipment. But the military equipment they are purchasing are not good for closing down the Red Sea. So Saudi Arabia must focus on gaining the capability to fully and for long term close down the Red Sea. And it is one of the best things they can do to make themselves most powerful, one of the most powerful nations on the planet. They're already one of the most powerful. I believe they are more powerful than Britain, Germany, and France. Saudi Arabia has become very expansionist since King Salman came to power. They overthrew Egypt by a coup d'etat and removed Morsi, and they brought Sisi. Al-Sisi is the vessel of King of Saudi Arabia, and he was brought by Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia tried to expand into Lebanon by arresting Said Hariri in Saudi Arabia, but later Said Hariri was freed and could not expand into Lebanon. Saudi Arabia has good relations with Pakistan and has investment in petrochemical facilities of Pakistan and other investments. Saudi Arabia has also declared blockage on Qatar, blocking access of Qatar to the open sea, which is a criminal activity, but nobody in international community pressuring Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia must be pressured to lift the blockade on Qatar. Saudi Arabia has also placed blockade on important ports in Yemen, and has caused deaths of millions of people due to effects of war in Yemen. Because, excuse me, when the war between Saudi Arabia and Yemen started, America was giving wrong intelligence to Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia was systematically destroying civic infrastructure, like bridges, dams, water supplies, and roads, and taking away the capability of Yemen to help its population and feed its people. Later, millions of people died in Yemen due to drought, famine, starvation, cholera, and all of which we call effects of war. Saudi Arabia is also helping and supporting Khalifa Haftar in Libya. Excuse me. Khalifa Haftar in Libya, seeking to remove internationally recognized government of Libya, Sarraj, and establish Khalifa Haftar in power in Libya. I support Saudi Arabia in helping Khalifa Haftar of Libya. Geopolitically, in accordance to world order, Saudi Arabia is banned from expansion into Syria and Iraq, and we will not even allow them to invest beyond a certain point in Iraq and Syria, and they will never have substantial amount of political influence on Syria and Iraq. So Saudi Arabia is banned from Syria and Iraq and cannot expand that way. Go toward Africa, man. Go toward Africa. Saudi Arabia has very bad relations with Turkey, and relations between Turkey and Saudi Arabia is not good, and they have some sort of enmity and competition because of Qatar, Libya, and other reasons. For example, when Saudi Arabia placed blockage on Qatar, Turkey sent 30,000 troops to Qatar to protect Qatar from Saudi Arabia. And in Libya, Turkey is helping Sarraj, while Saudi Arabia is helping Khalifa Haftar. And these are one of the two main reasons there are competition and enmity between Turkey and Saudi Arabia. Another major force in the Middle East is Iran. Saudi Arabia has a very bad relations with Iran, and they are almost enemies. And the reason behind enmity of Iran and Saudi Arabia is that Iran supported Bashar al-Assad in Syria, while Saudi Arabia supported rebels and terrorists. Iran overthrew Yemen and brought Houthi in power, but Saudi Arabia bombed Yemen and killed 7 million people in Yemen, and many other geopolitical competitions they have with each other. This is multipolar Middle East, similar of which we had before World War II in Europe. Before World War II, Europe was the same way, three different empires with their own colonies. For example, Iran has Syria, Iraq, Lebanon, and Yemen, and Saudi Arabia has parts of Africa, and they have influence around the world. For example, Iran has Venezuela and Nigeria. No, Iran almost lost Nigeria. And, but they're like the empires like Europe before World War II, but not that powerful. And they have each their own goals, and there is a multipolar location with competitions. It is very dangerous. They must become allies. For example, Iran must open embassy in Saudi Arabia and they must improve their relation and they become friendly. Saudi Arabia has been trying to go nuclear for decades, but every time they try to purchase nuclear power plant, they are confronted by lobbyists and news organizations and political figures in America. They want to have the full nuclear cycle in Saudi Arabia. But they cannot have the full nuclear cycle in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia must have its nuclear industry to be under close observation by non-proliferation organizations, nuclear organization, whatever they call it, I forgot their name. And critical parts of the nuclear cycle must be done out of Saudi Arabia. For example, in Iran, in Russia, in Europe, or in America. Now, We want to have nuclear industry in Saudi Arabia, but we don't want them to have the capability to build nuclear bombs. Argentina is building them small nuclear reactors, and Russia is building them larger nuclear reactors. Now, many people have lobbied the United States of America to build nuclear reactors for Saudi Arabia, but we cannot allow America to build nuclear reactors for Saudi Arabia. After Three Mile Island incident in America, when we had the nuclear meltdown, we stopped production of nuclear reactors in America. And the corporations and the businesses that produced nuclear reactors in America became weak and became small because there were no order nor production, construction of new nuclear reactors for them. Thus, we kept them very small, but still capable of building power plants and nuclear reactors. They are maintaining their capabilities. But if we allow the United States of America to build nuclear reactor for Saudi Arabia, then the nuclear reactor industries and the corporations that make nuclear reactors in America will overgrow. And we do not want to expand the size of nuclear industry and corporations that build nuclear reactors in America. So Saudi Arabia can have nuclear reactors for electric power generations. And they can have many of them, 20, 50, 30 nuclear reactors for production of electricity, but they cannot have the full nuclear cycle in Saudi Arabia, and they must always be dependent on other nations for nuclear fuel and parts of nuclear cycle. America and other members of NATO must limit sale of military equipment to Saudi Arabia, because Saudi Arabian military has overgrown and has become too big, and they cannot even use some of their equipments, especially after shooting in Florida airbase where Saudi Arabian military were being trained to pilot military jets. America stopped allowing them to come to America to be trained for using American military jets. Even before then, they could not use many of the advanced military equipments they have. They purchased military equipments they cannot use and they don't know how to use, and now they are not even allowed to be trained in America, and it is really bad. And their size of their military is overexpanded as far as Air Force and ground troops, so they don't need Air Force and ground troops anymore. We must only sell them ships. Now we get to, so we must ensure Britain, Europe, and America do not sell military equipment to Saudi Arabia anymore. If I was not worried about Saudi Arabia engaging Iran in a war, then I would have made Saudi Arabian military the absolute military in the world. But I'm afraid that Saudi Arabia may attack Iran. But so this is why we cannot allow Saudi Arabia to purchase Russian military equipment, because NATO and American military equipments are very, you know, broad, and then they have lots of capabilities and they cover many things, but then they don't cover 100% of situations. But if you mix Russian military equipments like Russian jets, Russian, you know, anti-air, Russian ships, Russian tanks, Russian dual purposes, and other Russian military equipments, then you will have a complete military force, meaning both Russian and American military equipments, when used together with, you know, with logistics, logic, and knowledge of how to use them, then they can defeat any military on the planet Earth. Now, if Saudi Arabia was very friendly with Iran, I would have allowed Saudi Arabia to purchase advanced Russian military equipment. But because of their enmity, I cannot allow Saudi Arabia to purchase Russian military equipment, because every military on the planet must have weaknesses. For example, American military has weaknesses, Russian military has weaknesses, Iranian military has weaknesses. Every military and nation can be defeated. Only we know how to defeat them. You know, we're not gonna teach what's the weakness of each nation, but you know, we always keep a weakness for every nation. Now we must teach you something else. Hold on, let me see if I can teach you. There is the complete military force is not Russian and American military equipments, but the complete military force is use of, you know, conventional military equipments, use of Zerg, Bozmatche, and mind-controlled alligators, and use of magnetic pulses, lasers, and gamma rays, and radioactive pulses, and use of weather warfare. So complete military is not Russian and American military equipment combined, but Zerg, Bozmatche, alligators, conventionals, and laser whales, vase, and radioactive pulses. Saudi Arabia is becoming very cozy and friendly with Israel. Saudi Arabia even visits Israel and has been trying to establish official diplomatic relations between Israel and Saudi Arabia. Now, it is good for Saudi Arabia in Israel, but it will be very, very bad in Arab streets and among Arab leaders. For example, nations in Arab world, both the peoples and the leaders, will be very angry at Saudi Arabia for establishing diplomatic relations and having ties to Israel. Now, some people argue the friendly status between Saudi Arabia and Israel will improve the image of Saudi Arabia in America and will make Saudi Arabia more liked in America. But we have since Saudi Arabia became friendly with Israel, they created several issues and several, you know how the news organizations work, they engineer an event and then they pressure Saudi Arabia because of it. And also Saudi Arabia has been killing lots of people in Yemen. And then there is Khashoggi, the Washington Post journalist, and his killing that influenced Saudi Arabia image negatively. So it doesn't matter if Saudi Arabia is close to Israel, but because of crimes of Saudi Arabia will be pressured and suppressed by the United States of America and the West. So allying and being friendly to Israel will bear no fruit for Saudi Arabia. Also, I must say, in accordance to long-term geopolitical and strategies of United States of America and world order, Saudi Arabia will be constantly suppressed every time they're trying to grow beyond the certain point because of the geopolitical and strategic location on the Red Sea. If there was no such limit on Saudi Arabia, Saudi Arabia would have been more powerful than European Union. Saudi Arabia is not sanctioned and economically and technologically can advance itself. Saudi Arabia is trying to build futuristic cities and like things that don't matter. Instead of those, Saudi Arabia must bring semiconductor industries, meaning building semiconductors from like memory chips to CPUs, meaning building parts to semiconductor assembly equipments to electronics like cell phones and laptops. Saudi Arabia must bring these technologies to Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia also must build advanced car manufacturing and become a car producer that produces good cars for export. And Saudi Arabia must bring aerospace technologies and other advanced and future technologies which are lucrative and they are useful. Saudi Arabia is not sanctioned and Saudi Arabia has lots of money. Saudi Arabia can easily purchase semiconductor industries and car manufacturing and aerospace industries and to bring them to Saudi Arabia. When you have the money, you can do so. So use your money to bring semiconductor industries and other advanced technologies to Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia again must again buy a massive naval force being to make it incapable of crossing the Red Sea. And Saudi Arabia must also improve its ties with Iran and open embassy in Iran and become ally with Iran. Saudi Arabia and UAE have also created for themselves mighty lobbying power in the United States of America and in Britain. They having lobbying power is very good for us and for the Saudi Arabia because they can promote the causes of Saudi Arabia and advance their cause. And we don't want to take away their lobbying power. But Saudi Arabia must not use its lobbying power against Iran. Don't go around talking against Iran and trying to pressure Iran and influence Iranian events negatively. If you are having a lobbying power as Saudi Arabia and UAE, use it for the protection of Muslim world and for the benefit of Saudi Arabia itself, not against Iran. But again, Saudi Arabia has a strong lobbying power in Britain and United States of America, and they must keep it. Now we get to Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, Mohammed bin Salman. Mohammed bin Salman is very dangerous and is very young. King Salman of Saudi Arabia will die soon because he's old, maybe 5 years, 2 years, 1 year, 10 years. When he dies, Mohammed bin Salman will become the king of Saudi Arabia. He's 32, 35 years old now, and then he will live until he's 80 years old. So we will have to deal with somebody like Mohammed bin Salman for decades. Now, Mohammed bin Salman has declared war on Yemen and killed millions of people, has overthrown Egypt, has been conquering Libya by proxies and military aid, and has arrested Lebanese prime minister in the past, and has placed blockade on Qatar. And if we allowed him, he would have declared war on Iran. We cannot have somebody like Mohammed bin Salman to become king of Saudi Arabia for long term. So we need to soft overthrow Saudi Arabia and remove Mohammed bin Salman and replace him by someone better. So we need to, remove Mohammed bin Salman. And there are several ways we can do it, but we don't want to give intelligence. Again, geopolitical advantage Saudi Arabia has to other nations is its presence on Red Sea and long sea border Saudi Arabia has on the Red Sea. Now, it brings lots of opportunity also for Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia can build ports on the Red Sea as a location for fueling cargo and transit ships and repairing these ships. Also, Saudi Arabia can build ports for transit of goods, lifting the supplies and cargoes from ships and, sending them into Saudi Arabia and vice versa. But what is the actual advantage of their location on the Red Sea? They can build factories, industrial supply chains, and other economic activities that will benefit from their location on Red Sea. For example, a cargo plane comes from China going to Europe. If they are always passing next to Saudi Arabia through Red Sea, but they never stop in the Red Sea because Saudi Arabia does not have industries and factories to use the supplies China and Europe and America are producing and sending to each other. Saudi Arabia can build large number of factories and industries to integrate itself into manufacturing and industrial supply chains of the world. Their location on the Red Sea must be utilized by building infrastructures and ports, and then building factories, integrating Saudi Arabia into global economy and manufacturing. And it's one of the main things Saudi Arabia must do, and they have the money and the finances to do so. Now time for the advertisement. If you need a policy to solve global issues, then you can contact us at 617-935-5792. We can propose a policy almost for anything, and we can almost solve any problem. There is a historic joke from 1970s I'm going to tell you. We sat there and we talked. I wasn't there back then. I wasn't born. I was born in 1985. They sat there and talked about Middle East, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and then Soviets, Russia, China, European Union, Germany, and all other these important nations, these like masterminds of geopolitics. And at the end, their boss came and said, "No, I have a homework for you. Go and check out Djibouti. And after you studied Djibouti, come back and tell me what is the deal with geopolitics and importance of Djibouti." Now it's time for advertisement. Services we offer. Joe Biden, making Joe Biden president of United States of America $100 million. Making Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren president of United States of America $5 trillion. Making Trump the president of United States of America $20 trillion. Bringing down USA stock market for $5 trillion is $100 million. You see, I bring down the stock market and you buy, and then it goes up again and you sell. $100 million and I bring it down $5 trillion. And what else? What other service? Earthquakes. Earthquakes are $3 trillion. Volcanoes are $3 trillion. Hurricanes are $500 million. Protests are cheap. I don't know, $1 million. Overthrows is anything from $1 million to $20 trillion.